This is Living the RV Dream, episode 151 for Friday, July 10th, 2020.
I'm riding in my RV, wherever I want to be, 'cause I'm free in my RV, yeah.
Hello, happy campers, hello, happy travelers around the world, full-timers, part-timers, boondockers, van dwellers, pelican heads, welcome to another episode of Living the RV Dream, brought to you by Amazon Camper Force. I'll tell you a little more about Amazon Camper Force here in a little bit, but before that, let me tell you a little bit about, the past few days. And by the way, Wednesday was my birthday, and I did one of those concerts. You know, during the lockdown, I did a bunch of concerts, you know, like I called it the Minitini Lounge, since Minitini is the name of my trailer, even though I do him here from home office. I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to do him from my small trailer, but you never know. We might do something like that. I'm going to take if I finally go on this summer road trip. I'm definitely gonna take my portable keyboard with me, and we might be able to do something from the road. You never know. And yeah, this trip, you know, I've told you before about the travel plans, and I still haven't done anything set in stone, because you know, certain states, like states that were on my route, like Arkansas, Kansas, you know, now they're having that 14-day quarantine for outside out-of-state residents. So is New Mexico, by the way. There's a bunch of states that are doing that, and you know, I'm gonna try to like avoid places like that and hot spots, of course. It's gonna be a mostly rural trip. Especially at the beginning, you know, coming from Florida, which is a hot spot, even though I'm staying in the house. I just go out once a week maybe for groceries, and that's it. In any case, as I was saying, today we have a great show in store for you. I have an interview, and we're gonna do some voicemail and some mail. Actually, let's do some voicemail right now, just to begin with the voicemail.
Hi Robert, this is Nicole calling from Central Valley, California. We are kind of like an hour. We're in Chowchilla, off the 99, the armpit of Central California. We're like an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours out of Yosemite. But anyway, just wondering how you like your truck, because I hope to get like a little micro mini sometime. At least that's what I want to do, hit the road too. So thank you and have a great day.
Hey, Nicole, thank you so much for your message. And yeah, that's one of the questions that I get asked the most. And why did I choose, a compact pickup truck to tow the trailer? And it works great. And that's the thing. I didn't want I've had been driving an SUV for such a long time that I didn't want to get like a full-size truck, something too big, you know, something that my wife would be willing to drive as well. And the truck drives great, and it tows great. It has a towing capacity of 7,000, and the trailer is 3,000 dry. I imagine, you know, filled to the brim is probably going to be a 5, you know, so you still got plenty of room. And I did visit Yosemite, and I did Tioga Pass towing the trailer with full tanks, and it performed perfectly. So I for a micro mini, you know, something below 20 feet long, you know, always look at the weight, because some of them are heavier, some of them are lighter. The Chevy Colorado, you know, it's a V6. 3.6 liters, and mine is only rear-wheel drive. I kind of regret it. I would have preferred a four-wheel drive, but I didn't want to make the extra expense. So yeah, it works great.
Hey Robert, this is Ross Burnett, Portland, Oregon. Just wanted to say I sure appreciate your travel videos. My wife and I a lot of, she's really enjoyed them too. Hey, if you're in the area, the Portland area, let me know. I'd love to show you around, park your RV at my place, whatever you want to do. And I noticed you liked interest in trains. I do too. from model railroading all the way up to the big ones, and lots of history in Oregon and California. Plus, there's a beautiful museum in Portland. I don't know if you've seen it. That's the one where they have the big, the two big giant steam engines down there by the OMSI. So if you haven't seen that museum, you definitely want to come by, and it's a spectacular place. Just wanted to let you say hi, and appreciate all your videos and been enjoying them. And hope to hear from you. Talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, Russ, thank you so much for your message. And yeah, the, Portland, man, is one of those places that I just drove through and I didn't stop. You know, it was as everything with all my traveling. You know, I usually have to pick my battles. And there were other places that I wanted to see, but definitely at some point, I want to explore Portland, Oregon for sure, and a little more of the inland part of Oregon. And as you know, the last summer I did the Oregon coast, which was one of the best road trips I've ever done. I mean, I was pleasantly surprised, and I don't know, I might have even liked it even more than the. Than the California coast, if that's even possible. But definitely I love trains, and that's one of the things that I want to do in the future as I go back. Probably not this year, but next year, if the pandemic is under control, I will definitely go back to the West Coast states, California, Oregon, and back to Washington too as well. So thank you so much for your message, and let's hear the next one.
Hey, Robert, my name's Tommy, and I'm leaving you a message today because I've been watching some of your videos and you've really inspired me to think about what life in an RV could be like and the opportunities that I could not only bring myself, but bring others as well. So I run TommyParalyzed.com and Tommy Paralyzed on all the social medias, Instagram and all that. And what that's about is I was paralyzed from the waist down in a motorcycle crash. And it took me quite a long time to advocate for my health and to get better from that. And so that I knew it couldn't be all in vain. I knew that I had to share my story to help others. And I feel like I've done that in a small way so far with everything that I've done and a little bit of the feedback. I'm not on, you know, as big of a platform as you yet, but I'm very hopeful to be soon. And, you know, one of the ways that I was thinking about kind of, what you've inspired me to think about is to help empower disabled individuals to get outside of their home and to get out and camp, you know, in an RV. So from a charitable perspective, I'm thinking about doing that in California, in and around all the 21 regional centers in California. And I was kind of hoping to get a little bit of advice from you on how you think I might be able to acquire a trailer that can help me in that process. Any information you have would be really great. What your videos helped me realize was that there's a huge world out there. And for me, when I was really injured, I didn't really do much. And, you know, I was able to learn how to rewalk again through a lot of just trying times and physical therapy and just being very fortunate. I don't walk perfect. I use leg braces to stiffen up my legs, and I use a cane for balance. And I can't walk too far, but, you know, I do pretty okay considering. And one of the things that I experienced was that it's almost as if I had forgotten that there was a whole other world out there beyond my house and beyond my bedroom. And I think a lot of people with disabilities and injuries can easily forget about that. And along my social media, what I try to do is to convey that process and to hopefully allow someone to go through the process a little quicker and not take 10 years like it did for me. But I think getting out in nature is going to be very pivotal for some people. And that's what your videos kind of inspired me to realize. And
Hey, Tommy, thank you so much for your message, and so glad that you are rediscovering the world out there. And and nowadays there are so many resources, you know, for people with disabilities. For example, I don't know about trailers. I know Winnebago has like a line of Class A RVs, you know, specifically designed with people with disabilities in mind. They have the lift for the wheelchairs, and everything is accessible inside. They have like a handicapped bathroom, you know, with the bars, and maybe you should look into those. I know I haven't spoken to him in a long time. My friend Rene Champagne from Maine. That was one of my first episodes of the podcast. If you can look back, it's probably episode 2 or 3, and he actually designed his trailer. You know, he modified it. With his girlfriend in mind, you know, with the ramp. I think he even widened the bathroom door. I have to look for that episode. Maybe I'll put a link in the show notes. But definitely there are plenty of options. Not plenty. I mean, I'm not gonna say plenty. That would be overly optimistic. But there are options out there with trailers and RVs designed for people with mobility issues and disabilities, and you should look into those. And I think your blog there, Tommy Paralyzed, it's a very good thing you're doing there to inspire others to explore the world, even if there are difficulties sometimes.
Hey Robert, first, I really do appreciate your videos on YouTube. They're relaxing, but also very informative, as down the road, I look forward to doing something very similar, but already having an idea of where to go and places to see makes a huge difference. And I love your voice too, man. It's just darn right relaxing. One question though, is it at all possible to get the notes or the song sheet to your theme? I love to learn how to pick that up on my soprano sax. Anyway, I sing your tune all the time, and I got my kids singing it too. Anyhow, I appreciate it, and thanks.
Oh man, you know, thank you for your message. You know, I've never actually written it down. You know, when I compose, I mean, I can read. I'm not a sight reader by any means, but I can read music and I can write music. But when I'm composing these tunes, it's just by ear, you know. I mean, me playing the piano. I could definitely come up with the chords and the melody, the notes. Give me a couple of days here, and I'll get back to you on that. But actually, since I did it on the computer, maybe I can just print it out. You know, the MIDI file. The program that I use has a sheet music option, so maybe I can do that one.
Hi, Robert. Brandon Stargell here, fellow Pelican head and patron. Just want to wish you a happy 49th birthday. Hope you had an awesome day. Thanks for a great concert. We really enjoyed it. Sent you a birthday gift on the tip jar. I just want to let you know how much you mean to all of us Pelican heads. I know I speak for a lot of folks when I say you've changed our lives. You made it better. I know you sure have mine. I discovered your videos in October of 2018, and I've been a patron for just a little over a year, and I've really, really enjoyed the videos, the podcasts, the weekly chats, the community that you've built. I just feel so welcome, and I've been able to get out of my comfort zone and go places that I never thought I would go and make plans to go places that I've not been yet, but the looking forward to those plans. And it's all because of you. So we really appreciate everything that you do for us. And like I said, I just wanted to wish you a happy birthday. Hope it was great. I wish you another year of health and happiness and prosperity and safe travels, Robert. Hope to see you soon. Happy birthday.
Brandon, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Yeah, it was a good birthday. It was a good birthday. 49th, which is an odd year, you know. It's like I'm like holding there to my 40s, you know, hanging on for one more year. Thank you. And I know you've been there for a while. You know, your name always comes up. Thank you always for watching and for your support, man. And thank you for your message and your happy birthday message.
Hi, Robert. This is Bill Honor in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I just wanted to tell you how much I enjoy your podcasts. They're extremely better than ever before. I enjoy the content. Everything's great. Got a question for you, though, Robert. Are you ever going to make your music available in downloads so a person can buy it from you and download it and just put it on a device so we can carry it around with us? Thanks, Robert. You have a great day, and thank you for all the videos and everything you turn out. Bye.
Hey, Bill, thank you so much for your message. And Bill Honor is another one of those names that show up in comments all the time. And, you know, one of those names that you remember. And my music should be available for download, like it's on iTunes and Amazon Music. It should be available for purchase and for download in wherever you can buy music. Just search for Robert Morales. And the latest album, the name is Travel Music 2020. And you should be able to get it. At some point, yes, I would like to sell them, you know, myself, you know, get a little better cut too, because iTunes keeps a cut, and then the company that I used, CD Baby, also takes a cut. Actually, CD Baby, you should be able to buy them at CD Baby as well. I'm going to put a link in the show notes for the CD Baby store. I just thought of that, and you could get him there. And by the way, I really appreciate, and everybody, I appreciate when I receive feedback on the podcast, because of course when I publish a video on YouTube, I get dozens, even hundreds of comments, and you know, most of them positive, some of them critical, and that's also fine, because you know that's gives me ways to improve what I do. But on the podcast, I don't get as much feedback. You know, I guess it's not as easy. But if you have any feedback for the podcast, please do. And keep in mind that if you send me a voice message, I might play it back here on the podcast. And the way you send me a voice message, by the way, is go to travelingrobert.com, and there's like a green button that says talk to me. You click there, and it might ask you for permission to use your computer's microphone or your phone, and you can leave me a message through that platform. It's called SpeakPipe. It works well. You just have to limit it to 90 seconds, because I'm a cheapskate and I'm just using the free version that limits the messages to 90 seconds. But in any case, I would appreciate your feedback, or Robert at travelingrobert.com as well. Now, before we continue, I want to tell you about our sponsor, Amazon Camper Force. Get on the road with Amazon Camper Force. We have work camper jobs in a variety of cities that offer competitive wages and paid campground fees up to $550 a month. You'll also be able to learn a completion bonus and be part of a community that'll keep coming back year after year. Amazon is committed to keeping safety top of mind for its employees, and approved sites are open for selection now. All you have to do is go to amazon.com/camperforcedream today to learn more and pick your site for this season. That's amazon.com/camperforcedream all together. And Amazon is an equal opportunity employer. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes. Show notes, of course, reside at travelingrobert.com/podcast/0151, because this is episode 151. And now, without further ado, here's the interview. All right, so as you guys know, a couple of weeks ago, I released my video of Northern Ohio, Lake Erie, the Put-in Bay, and I thought it would be appropriate and timely to have someone from the area here on the podcast. And today we have Katrina Reed. She's a communications manager for the Miller Boat Line Ferry, and she's a Put-in Bay resident. And Katrina, welcome to the show. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Are you coming to us from Put-in Bay proper? Are you on the island?
I am. Yeah, I live here year round.
Oh wow, that's great. That's why I wanted to talk to you, because you know, we tourists, we usually get like a weekend experience, and I wanted to see also to hear from you what it is like other times of the year. By the way, do you get a lot of this just came up to me right before we started the interview. Do you get a lot of tourism from like international tourists, or is it mostly like people from the area?
I would say we get both. I think we get a lot of people, like our I would say it's mostly people from about 4 hours away we get. But if you go out, you'll meet people from all over at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand that. But I'm asking because it's kind of under the radar, from people from faraway places like Florida, for example. A lot of people have never heard of Put'n Bay. That's also why I wanted to have you on and tell us a little more about the island.
Well, Robert, you know, some people don't even know that Ohio has islands, and I didn't even know that. I lived in Ohio my whole life, and I didn't even know until about 11 years ago that Ohio had islands. No, maybe 13 years ago, and then I've been living here for 11, but many people don't know that about the Lake Erie Islands at all.
Yeah, I know. I had never heard of it until you know, we were researching. Actually, when I went there, and we were talking about this off camera, but one of my first RV trip was to Ohio, and we went to Cedar Point. And I think for that reason, I have a lot of viewers of my YouTube channel and a lot of listeners and a lot of good friends. Actually, I've made a lot of good friends from Ohio. I wanted to ask you about the name because I also have a lot of international listeners, and a lot of them, this is kind of funny, they thought it was related to Vladimir Putin, which has nothing to do with the name of the island, right? How did that, because it's a strange, it's a hyphenated name to begin with, Put'n Bay. What's the origin of the name?
It is a hyphenated name. They say it's probably derived from our secure harbor, like the shape of the island. And it's a place where ships can put into the bay to as refuge from a temperamental Lake Erie. Also, a 1700s map created by the British named the harbor Pudding Bay, perhaps because it's shaped like a pudding bag, which was commonly used in the ship's galley. And I'm reading as I go here to make sure I don't mess it up. Yeah. So bear with me.
Yeah, it's okay.
A little bit of history, so...
Yeah, that's very interesting. And let me tell you, Lake Erie, I can tell it's kind of a temperamental lake. I didn't realize it's like an ocean. It's sometimes it gets really choppy, and I hear it's because it's a relatively shallow lake. Is that what you've heard too?
It is. It's the shallowest of the Great Lakes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, because it's so shallow, we have bigger waves and everything's affected more.
Is that thunder I hear in the background?
It is.
Well, let's hope
I can move inside if I need to.
Let's hope that could get exciting if you start. But for those of you listening on audio only, Katrina is outside like on her deck, right? And okay, let me ask you, how do you get to the island, first of all?
Well, by private boat, by plane, or Miller Ferry, which is the ferry line to the islands, carries people, vehicles, freight, food, anything that gets to the island comes aboard Miller Ferry. If you have a private boat, lots of people come that way. We have a great harbor with many docks that people can come, and... then by private plane, which is how, when Lake Erie freezes, if you live here, that's how we get back and forth in the winter, by plane.
And the ferry, can you accommodate all kinds of RV sizes? It's a pretty big ferry, isn't it?
It's a very big ferry. The ferry service can carry anything. I've researched this. Some of the great things that we've carried, from pets to people to pools, airplanes,
wow.
Houses, because literally everything here has to come over on the ferry. So yes, we can accommodate all and any sizes of RVs, semi-trucks.
That's good to know, because one of the only thing I didn't like about the island is that I didn't have enough time there to like really enjoy it. So next time I definitely want to stay overnight. A couple of nights.
Do you have plans to visit again? Have you when you were here, you stayed at South Bass Island State Park?
No, we stayed in England. We stayed in...
Oh, you didn't stay on the island.
No,
we
only had one day, like, you know, a few hours, actually. So next time, I definitely want to stay at the state park.
Yeah, it's got... it's beautiful. It's got great history, and it's right on the lake, and there's campsites overlooking the cliff. I mean, it's the best place on the island to watch the sunset. You really do have to check it out.
Yeah. I don't know about this summer with all this COVID-19 stuff, but maybe the next year will be a good...
Yeah.
By the way, how... Because a lot of people are going to want to know if they want to visit. How normal is the situation right now? And how normal is the new normal going to be? Do you have any information about what's open, what's closed, the measures...
You know, I think we're kind of in the same boat as everyone else. I think Ohio hasn't, Ohio is kind of, we haven't been hit super hard yet. So far, we hope it stays that way. But I kind of the same as everyone else, you know? But yeah, we haven't been hit real hard lately. We have still had many visitors, many tourists. The great thing is that the ferry is an open air ferry ride. So, and you also have the option of staying in your car if you'd like. You could bring your vehicle over. And at Put-in Bay, there's so many things to do staying outside. Like you could bring your bicycle on the ferry for $4 round trip. So you could ride your bike, bring your car, walk on the ferry. It's open air and the ride is only 18 minutes. And the 18, it's very scenic, calming, relaxing, and it's 18 minutes, but you really feel like you're far away. And then the island has so many great things to do that you can do outside. Like we have 4 nature preserves, 2 are on the water, great for hiking, skipping rocks, searching for beach glass. 1 is a storybook trail where you go along and read the story as you go. 1 is a wildflower trail. So a lot of people will come and visit and rent a golf cart and just explore the island, grab lunch, sit in D. Rivera Park with a lake view, visit the nature preserves, the monument grounds. So you can visit and you can be outside the entire time if you'd like.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I know sometimes Put-in Bay is kind of known as a party town, but there's so many other things to do. I imagine like that big festival you guys have at the end of August or early September might not happen or something, but...
Well, I think most, any kind of resort town, you would not really want to have families downtown past 6 or 7, but any during the week, during the day, weekday nights, it's very family friendly.
Yeah, I know.
But if you like live music, we've got 2 wineries, great restaurants, all kinds of things.
Let me talk about wineries because I'm kind of into wine. The Lake Erie Islands are known as the Wine Islands. Do you have any little history on that? How that came about? Because it's unusual, also, you know, like.
We have Heinemann's Winery here. That is the oldest family-owned winery in Ohio. And they actually grow their grapes and make their wine all from the lake. They do it here. Like they grow the grapes on many of the islands and they make their wine right on Put-in Bay. And they have some unique, amazing wines. And they've got a wine garden that you can go sit with. You can bring the family. They have grape juice and they have world's largest geode. And it's a cave you can go down into, go spelunking, and you're actually inside the geode. So it's a very cool photo op.
Okay. Now
very unique to Put-in Bay.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Next time I need to go with more time because I wanted to ask you, since you live on the island full time, how's life different on the island than on the mainland? Any challenges you have encountered?
It's very different. When I first moved here, I was like, so we don't have a Target. And my husband's like, no. I was like, Walmart? He's like, no. I was like, okay, like CVS? No. So we have a small grocery store, very small. And we have 1 gas station. We have the post office, a repair shop. We have like a town hall and we have some like gift shops, but we don't have a lot of the amenities that you have on the mainland. And we have there's many restaurants, like I said, the restaurants, the wineries, the bars, gift shops, but all of those close in the winter. So in the winter, it's a whole different life. But you kind of realize how much of that stuff you don't need. You know how many, like I would go to Target all the time, get a coffee and just walk around Target. And you kind of realize like you can go outside. Why go to the park? There's so many, you realize you don't need that stuff. So we have a lot of stuff delivered here. We're able to get Amazon and Amazon pantry and lots of stuff delivered. If we go to the mainland, sometimes we'll grab groceries on our way back. Otherwise, we'll just shop at our grocery store here. But we do have to take the ferry. When we go over, we take the ferry every time and then ride the ferry back. And like I said, it's 18 minutes. So it's really, you could drive your car right on, drive your car right off. It's actually, it's kind of cool. Yeah. It really is. Island life is
imagine
cool.
You go to the mainland often and to do.
Well, the ferry like schedule in the summer makes it really easy. They have Miller Ferry has ferries every half hour in the summer. So, and it's daily. So it makes it really easy if you want to hop on the ferry to, if me and my husband want to go to dinner or take the girls to Cedar Point for a day. It makes it really easy to just take a day trip. Mm-hmm. But I'd say we leave about every 2 to 3 weeks in the summer. In the winter, I try to leave every 2 weeks or 2 or 3 weeks also, so I don't get stir crazy. But I mean, sometimes I'll go a month or 2 months without going to the mainland. It really just depends.
Yeah. And how's life on the winter? You know, I'm from Florida, so I don't know anything about snow and cold weather. And how many permanent residents? I imagine it must be have a very small town feel in the winter.
It is. We have about 300 to 400 residents. We have a school here. It's small. From preschool through 12th grade, we have about 90 students. And pretty much everything closes in the winter. The post office stays open, the grocery store, auto body shop, the town hall will be open. What else? Post office, grocery, town hall. And that is about, the hardware store will also stay open. And everything else closes down. There's usually one restaurant that'll stay open. It kind of varies which it is. And it's very quiet, serene, beautiful. We don't use salt on our roads, so everything just stays white. And if the lake freezes, it's fun because then we have all kinds of ice activities. You could take your four-wheeler and ride it on the ice, ice fishing, ice skating. People do have ice boats. The kids will set up a ice hockey. And it's like the whole little tight-knit community in the winter. And then, of course, you have to fly back and forth. And the planes are about 4 to 10 people in a plane. So sometimes it's just like me and my husband and girls and the pilot. Like it's a small
little plane.
Yeah, but it's only like from when you take off to land, it's 6 minutes. Mm-hmm. So it's actually convenient.
Yeah. And can you visit in the winter? Like do you get any visitors? If I wanted to see it, experience it?
Yes, people come and they love to go ice fishing. We get all kinds of visitors for ice fishing. There will be, that's when the ice does freeze, it's actually a whole nother economy for the island because so many people come to go ice fishing.
Oh, wow. Cool. And let me ask you, I mean, obviously summer is the best time of the year to go to experience the island, but what would you say is like the best day of the year, the best week of the year to visit Putin Bay?
That's easy. That is a weekday in September or October. I love that time of year. It's when they harvest the grapes. So the whole island smells like grapes and the leaves are changing with the Lake Erie backdrop and everything is still open. The bars, restaurants, shops, but there's no crowds, no lines. It's very calming and that's definitely my favorite.
Well, definitely, since I'm into wine and all that, definitely next time I'm going to try to hit that late part of the season.
Do you like red or white wine?
I'm more of a red kind of guy, but we drink both. My wife and I, we drink, as long as they're not too sweet, you know, we like the drier kinds. But yeah.
Me too.
What kind of wines, what kind of grapes, any popular grapes or anything like that? If we can geek out
on the
wine.
Yes, they have Catawba grapes. They have, what are they called? Apple grapes, I can't believe I can't think of the name. They have wines, everything from very sweet to very dry wines. They have champagne. They have blush, red, white. I want to say there's over 30 kinds of wines. They have a Vidal. They have it. I mean, there's bound to be. I'd be happy to make a recommendation if you tell me more what you like.
Yeah. Well, we'll get in touch.
When you visit.
We'll get in touch next summer or next
when you visit.
Fall. Not this fall, then the following year. I'm most likely going to go. And we also have breweries, of course. and plenty of restaurants. What would be one of your recommendations, like one of those places that is a hidden gem for a restaurant?
Well, a hidden gem. I would say the Goat is a hidden gem. They have amazing food. They have a real pretty patio you can sit on. And it's not on the water. That's why I say it's more hidden. It's right outside of town. And if you can get a spot right on their patio, and you can watch over and you can kind of people watch, it's a great place to watch the passers. And they have craft cocktails that they make. They grow a lot of their vegetables right there. But it's right outside of town, so a lot of times people miss it.
Mm-hmm. And what attraction would you say that most people miss that you would recommend in the island?
What do people miss? I think spelunking. I think that everybody should visit the caves here. I think the spelunking is really cool. There's parasailing, but I know that you could do parasailing in other places, but it's really cool seeing the islands, and on a clear day, you could see to Canada. Mm-hmm. What else is something hidden? The Lake Erie Islands are a great place to paddleboard, kayak, canoe. We have a water trails guide that shows you a trail that you can take and great places to stop. So I think if you like to paddleboard or kayak, it's a really good place to do that too. I think a lot of people miss that.
When we were there, that it was a historical weekend, and we visited this island that is owned by the Ohio State University. Is that island, are you able to visit it any other time? Because there was like a unique thing that we're having, these little boats ferrying people back and forth.
Sometimes you can call and make an appointment to visit, but it is not just open to the general public. They have Stone Laboratory, like you said, it's owned mm-hmm. by Ohio State. Yep. They do testing of Lake Erie and keeping the ecosystem healthy. And they have classrooms there. And you can visit. You can see their classrooms, their labs. They have dorms there. There is an historic mansion there called Cook Castle. Mm-hmm. You can read the history behind that. And if you get to visit, it really makes an impression on you.
Yeah, but we were lucky enough last year to be able to, by chance, we didn't know. And, you know, my friend uh-huh. Jim, I went to I'm sure you met Jim or at least spoke yes. to him. And he started talking to someone, and someone told him, and he's like, no, we have to go. We have to go to Gibraltar Island, because that's like, that place is never open.
It is not open to the public. You have to find a time of the year where they're doing tours, but it's not always open. Mm-hmm. But they do tours usually every year at certain times. So,
yeah, and there's also the historical aspect of the island, that you have that memorial, the Paris memorial,
Paris Victory and International yeah. Peace Memorial. Yeah, it's a sign of peace between Great Britain, Canada, and the United States.
Yeah,
and you can go up to the observation deck. And it is just an amazing view. Mm-hmm. It's closed this year, but will be open next year. So far this year. It might open this year. We're not sure. So
yeah, everything is kind of like a moving target at this point. That's why I haven't even made set travel plans, because
right.
2020 is going to go down in history. Let me tell you, Katrina. Katrina, thank you so much for your time and for talking to us about Put'n Bay. I know you're with the Miller boat line. It's a kind of a historic ferry. It's been around since the early 1900s. Can you tell us to conclude a little bit about the history of the ferry line and all that?
Miller Ferry was founded in 1905. It started as a fishing charter and water taxi business in the summer, and an ice harvesting business in the winter. And since then, we've grown to be the biggest ferry service on Lake Erie. And actually, we have a new ferry being built. It's called the MV Mary Ann Market, and it's being built at Fraser Shipyard in Wisconsin. And we are really excited. Mm-hmm. We're really excited for the delivery. It's kind of it's taken a little bit longer than expected, but we're hoping to see her soon.
Yeah, Jim was also telling me about that. All right, Katrina, thank you so much. I was trying to think. Anything you want to plug? Any website that people should go to if they want to find out more about visiting Put'n Bay and the Miller Ferry?
Yeah, it's millerferry.com. You can find everything on ferry schedules, coupons, free parking information. places to stay. And then the official Put in Bay website is visitputinbay.com. So you can find information about the island in general.
All right. Thank you so much, Katrina. And hope to see you on the road sometimes when I visit.
It was nice talking with you. Have a good evening.
You too.
Hope to see you on the island.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye, Robert.
Bye, Katrina. Well, there you go. And with that, we're going to end today's episode. And if you like what you heard, please leave me a comment somewhere on the blog. Actually, if you like what you heard and a way that helps other people find the podcast, just go to wherever you download the podcast, iTunes, and leave us a comment. Positive or negative feedback is always appreciated. And I'll read those. And as usual, I'm going to leave you with a tune, one of those tunes that I compose for the videos. And today I'm going to leave you with one that I always play. And those of you who watch all my videos, you know, I have certain music for certain themes. Like when I cook, it's usually Au Québec, right? And whenever there's water, whenever we take a ferry or a boat anywhere, the tune that I play is O. Lawrence. And I composed it actually for our Canada road trip of 2013, and of course inspired by the Canadian national anthem, O Canada. So most of the tunes that I composed for the Canadian road trip started with O. I did O Toronto, I did O Montreal, I did O Quebec, and this one is called O Lawrence for the St. Lawrence River, where for when we visited, we took a cruise on the 1000 Islands. Is it 1000? Yeah, fun fact, that's where they invented Thousand Island dressing. In any case, here it is, O. Lawrence. And until next week, have a great week and have a great Friday. Until next week, thank you so much for listening. And see you on the road, because we are living the RV dream and loving the RV lifestyle. Free in my RV.